Excellent, excellent, excellent.
I just have to get this out of my system.
Yeah.
Spy Kids.
Oh, thank you. I love making those movies. I really, you know, it's funny because when I played the mom in Spy Kids, I was 27 years old. And really, like, now I would be the right age for that role because she was supposed to have been a spy for 10 years and then had kids who were 10. And, you know, and I looked at Robert Rodriguez when he said he wanted me to do it, and I was like, this is impossible. I could never do this. He said, you know what? I think if we do our job right, no one will question it. And it's so funny. You know, it's like the magic of movies, which I love.
So the themes of this movie itself, you know, I feel for your characters. Like, I can't have a child, but she's caring for this kid.
Yeah.
You know, how do you approach that aspect of the story?
You know, that was one of the things that I really loved when I first read it. And there was actually even a little bit more in the initial script about basically her husband left her when she found out she couldn't have kids. Mm. And it was obviously a devastating blow, and she, you know, had all of these dreams and aspirations, and it was a, you know, certainly had reasons to go to Mars as an astronaut, but there were also the personal reasons, which were just walking away from the pain and walking away from the complexity of being with people and having your heart broken and all those things. So, of course, the irony is that, you know, she thought that she would never... Hey,
sorry.
No worries, here's a chair. She thought that, you know, that she would never be a mother and never really had sort of... That possibility was not going to be there, and went up to terraform Mars and was told, and that was actually sort of her, you know, her idol being Nathaniel, Gary Oldman's character, that she was just going up to do a job and happy to never look back, and had no idea that she was going to end up being this babysitter for this young kid who she would then have all of these feelings for and care for so much, and ultimately do the ultimate motherly act, which is put him before herself and go back to Earth so that he could be... You know, I think that she's been broken and she doesn't want him to be broken. And I think that even if his life is short, it becomes very clear to her that she wants him to experience love and real love, not just, you know, I think this movie poses some really interesting questions in terms of how important is it for us to be in a room with each other, for example. You know, what is the difference between that and communicating over devices? Because obviously devices connect us and they also disconnect us. Mm. And that is, to me, a really interesting subject that I don't think has easy answers. But I do kind of love that aspect of this movie, too.
Seems like you and Asa got to spend a lot of time together while you were filming. You had some fun pictures on Instagram. So how was it for you working with him?
You know, he is such a professional. He is such a smart young man. And it was really great because, you know, especially in this, he has this quality that he really embodied in this movie that is this kind of just hatched quality. So you really do believe that he, you know what I mean? You really do believe, you're like, I believe this guy is seeing a horse for the first time. I believe. And so there was something really wonderful as an actor working with that aspect of it because, you know, obviously he's super educated, really smart guy, very good actor, all those things. But this wonderful kind of, just those eyes, it was like that feeling of, I really, really related to Kendra going, I need to make sure this guy has a life. I need to make sure that he meets more than 15 people in his whole life, you know. But it was really easeful. I mean, that was the nice thing about this entire cast, actually, is that Gary, who I've been a fan of for so many years and had never worked with before, we just got on like a house on fire immediately. And Britt is so great. So it really was a group of four people who were there to tell a story, which is the greatest when there's no ego involved. There's nothing, you know, it was really... So we had a really good time. And then, of course, Asa and I did all of our stuff in harnesses, on wires, we were floating and stuff. So we were commiserating about the... It's a definite core workout, let me tell you.
So can you go on about the training with the harnesses? I know Asa had experience with that, with it.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
So how... So what went into your training as far as not only that, but also being an astronaut, if there was any space?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because... though I've done a lot of stunt work, I had never done much wire work. And so there was a lot of sort of, you know, getting in the harness, getting on the wires and learning to spin and learning to turn, because all of that comes from here. So, you know, basically if you let yourself go, you'll just go spinning like this. So it takes a lot of control. So that was actually really interesting. And then also for our feeling the gravity on Earth, we did some stuff with weighted ankles and things like that to really feel what that would feel like, kind of trudging through mud. Other than that, in terms of the astronaut, aspect of it. I really just spoke to astronauts and sort of got a sense of how it was to be a woman in that field, because, you know, there are some, but not that many. And, you know, just basically did some research like that. So, and with this movie, I think what I wanted to do for sure was accurately portray that aspect of things. But then this movie really is kind of about these four loners, you know, these four people who have been separated from society by choice or not by choice, and through the connection with each other, kind of figure out their purpose, which I thought was a really, drew me to it.
So how soon do you think we'll go to Mars?
I know, right? I know, we got to ask Elon Musk. I mean, he's the guy in the know, I guess. I know. Well, it's interesting, right? Because I'm always interested in science fiction that is just a tiny step ahead of its time, in the sense that in the time that we're living in, like kind of what Twilight Zone did when it was on, or what, you know, Black Mirror does now, which is this kind of thing where it's about technology, but it's not like we go, oh, I can't even imagine that. You're like, that could be tomorrow. And then it's also about how it affects our humanity. So for me, this, I kind of love the, you know, Gary's character, you know, sleeping in the car while it's driving and stuff like that, where you're going, I'm like, I just don't think cars are going to drive better than people. It just makes me scared. Yeah. But it does seem like it's right around the corner. So with the Mars part, I don't know. Yeah. I know, it's funny, huh?
No, we watched the Martian a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
It's one of the appeals of the movie is like, how close to accurate can it be, you know, as far as science fiction goes. Have there discussions like that? I don't know, maybe this is a question best for the writers, but how accurate is the space between us? Because we were talking about, like, is it going to be feasible or not?
Right.
Like, speed or
you know, I mean, I don't know. I think that it is accurate in the sense that there have been, you know, talks, of course, about colonizing other planets and things like that, and I know that they took very specific care in terms of how long it would take, what kind of precautions you would have to take, what would actually happen to your organs if you were to try to make it to Mars or back. So all of those kind of things, I think, are very accurate. And we actually have a person, I don't know if you're speaking to him, but who is?
Yeah, so
I feel like he's going to actually be able to really answer that question. Obviously, there is some artistic license taken, but I think, you know, right now, needless to say, a baby could not be born on Mars. Whether that could happen soon, I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me like, for sure, at some point. And if that child were born, he would have issues with his organs coming back here. It would be really, really hard to deal with the Earth's gravity. So those things are, you know, going for accuracy for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting because I was shooting this movie that comes out in March, actually, that Bart Freundlich directed with Michael Shannon and this really great young actor named John Taylor Smith. And it was so, it's a very cool, intense family drama, coming-of-age movie that takes place in New York City. So it's very reality-based and very naturalistic, and a movie that I'm excited about. It's called Wolves. And IFC is putting it out. But it was interesting because I received this script while shooting that movie. And it's one of the things that I really love about movies and making movies and watching movies is that each movie creates this kind of magical world that you go into and, you know, you see life from an entirely different perspective. And the thing I really like about this movie is that it is a love story. It is a road movie. It is a sci-fi movie. It is a space movie. It is, you know, it's sort of like, it takes all of these genres and somehow seamlessly, I think, puts them together in a way that, you know, it's just so great to have a movie that isn't from source material, that isn't a sequel to something, you know.
I like it too.
Yeah.
Hopefully there won't be a sequel. No, because, you know, like we said, these kind of films sometimes it's best to have it,
have its own life.
There was a sweet quality to a lot of it. And I'm not sure. Are you a mom?
No, I'm a stepmom, and I'm a godmom, but I'm not actually a mom. Yeah,
and because your character did have some of those feelings.
For sure, absolutely. No, and I think that's the thing that is, you know, about life is that it will always give you what, you know, it's like the Rolling Stones say, you know, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need, right? So it's like for Kendra, she really, you know, she went to try to just walk away from everything, and when you do that, you're going to have to look at it at some point. So, you know, she this kid comes into her life, and she's like, oh, I got to go back. You know, I got to go back for him. And it's worth it for her, obviously. Yeah. We shot it in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so when we were shooting around Albuquerque and Santa Fe, it was interesting because it was only about half acting in terms of the out-of-breath nature of the gravity, you know, because we were acting some of it. But it is, when you're in those kind of high altitudes, you really feel a difference. So it was helpful. Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit more about the general experience of filming in Albuquerque and if there's a particular set that stands out as being maybe your favorite?
Yeah, you know, Albuquerque is such a strange place because there's the land is gorgeous. The sunrises and sunsets are like not just exquisite. Downtown Albuquerque is sort of bleak, like, you know, you kind of... it's a little bit of a wasteland, and then now there are these, like, you know, restaurants cropping up, and there's certainly culture, but it's hard to find, and I think it's been, I think it was a place that was just so depressed economically for a period of time, and now is sort of starting to come back. And then, of course, Santa Fe is this stunning, gorgeous, you know, area, and they're so close to each other. So it was a really interesting juxtaposition between those two places. But I would say that we shot there during the Balloon Festival, which is this incredible, incredible festival. I don't know if you've seen pictures, but there are, you know, thousands of balloons in the air and hot air balloons. And so that was like a really beautiful thing to see. And then the other thing was one morning we had a super, super early call, and I got picked up before it was even light out. So I was driving in the dark, and I got to the hair and makeup trailer in the dark. And I went inside to get my makeup done, and I came out. And the door opened, and we were on this huge, huge mountain with this deep valley and the most unbelievable rainbow I've ever seen in my entire life. It was like, I actually did post a picture on Instagram, but it was like the entire rainbow. And that was pretty memorable because that was one of those things that I don't think, you know, it just only happens in those kind of places where you, you know, it just happened to be that I like walked out and saw it for the first time.
Before they take it away, can you talk a bit about your upcoming projects? Because the thing is, I'm a huge fan of your character, Electra Lux.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Will there be another installment?
I know. I love that character so much. She's so much fun. I would love to, and there is talk of another installment.
Yes.
So it's always good to know people want it. So hopefully we will be able to do it. So that I really do hope will happen.
Where will she be now?
I know, right? I don't know. I read one draft of a script, so it's definitely, you know, in the works, which is good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you're someone who's going to be very happy about that. I can really appreciate it.
Sure.
There's